Welcome to Tilth Talk Radio. Today we've got a special episode for you. It's the 5th annual Fantasy Corn League results show. So with me today are Bill Schomburg.
Hey guys.
Todd Schomburg.
Hey to all the Tilthies out there.
Special guest Doug Hintz.
Hi.
And our High Commissioner for the Fantasy Corn League, Derek Potretz.
Hi everyone.
And as always, I am Matt Brueger, all of us with Tilth Agronomy. So here we go.
Bill, Matt, is this your favorite show of the year?
Yep.
Maybe.
It's the most exciting.
This is the most exciting.
There's suspense.
Yeah. It's the draft is fun, but this, anytime you have results and we get to see plot results, it's fun.
I got to see if I'm the 5-time loser.
Is that, yeah, you're right.
You could be on a streak.
I could be. Well, I'm already on a streak for.
Yeah.
Perpetual streak.
Yep.
Yes, my second plot this week, so I didn't have to harvest this one, though.
Great.
That was Derek. All right. Well, in case you haven't heard our episodes before or don't know what the Fantasy Corn League is, we'll start off with what we are doing here. So the Fantasy Corn League participants are owners and managers of a set of corn varieties or team that engage in competitive plots, accruing points based on the yield of the individual corn varieties. Teams were drafted before the growing season back in, I'm trying to remember exactly when we drafted, but it was
April.
Yeah. And winners and losers will be decided after harvest, which has happened, so now we are here to find that out. Each of us did our research based on the draft board that we had for this year and picked our team roster of 6 varieties of varying day lengths. 1 bushel equals 1 point, so the team with the most bushels or points wins. Each variety was drafted here in the world headquarters for Tilth Agronomy in Seymour, Wisconsin. And there is plots here and as of 2024 in our Timbuktu site, Amarillo, Wisconsin. The trial was held in randomized complete block design for 4 replications per variety. At harvest, each team's yields will be added together and revealed here today, and a winner will be crowned based on the varieties that had the most yield. So this is for fun and educational purposes. We're all independent crop consultants. We are not, you know, promoting any individual brand. The companies that chose to participate in this trial will be recognized on the podcast here, but we don't necessarily say that any one or individual company is the best. We just grew what they gave us and tried to have some fun with it. So all seed companies have good varieties to offer, and we work hard not to have bias and let farmers kind of pick the seed they want to work with, and from there we can help them find what they need. So any seed company is welcome to participate. So I want to thank this year's seed company participants. So we had Dairyland Seed, which was founded in 1907 as Strakota Seed. They've been around for a long time. In 2018, became part of the Corteva brand family. Partners Brand, based in Hoy, Indiana, family-owned independent seed company, providing both conventional and traded corn and soybean seed. LG, though LG Seeds wasn't always the name of the company, they've grown over time and have been around as LG Seeds since the 90s, about 94. Wyckoff Brand Seeds near Valparaiso, Indiana. They've been around since 1932. Regional, independent, family-owned seed company. Bex, which was founded in 1937 by Lawrence Beck. They're the largest family-owned retail seed company. Bex is dedicated to serving farmers throughout the Midwest and Mid-South. Rank Seed, homegrown here in Wisconsin, started in 1846 in Sun Prairie. In the 1930s, Rank Seed was in the forefront of growing and selling hybrid seed corn. Jeff, Alex, and Brent Rank continue to be the cornerstone of the business. And Channel Seed, at the heart of the new and enhanced channel, which was a another group of brands that have come together recently. Bayer Crop Science launched the new Channel brand last year, integrating 10 regional seed companies into the Channel portfolio. So we thank all those companies for participating in this year's Fantasy Corn League trials. The results, after they have been officially announced here on the podcast, will be available at tilthtrials.com. So with that, I think we can start rolling into the...
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's yeah. go.
Commissioner, what do you got for us?
Right. Boo!
There it is. Come on. You guys are sleeping on this one.
Boo. All right. Thanks, Matt. Again, thank you to all the seed companies that participated this year. Interesting year this year. We had a good start to planting. We had a really good planting window. The Omro site was planted May 11th. The Seymour site was planted May 19th. Same with harvest. We had a really, really good harvest window this year. Omro was harvested October 13th. Seymour was harvested October 29th. One thing about harvest, we did have some higher moistures this year. I'm sure you guys saw that across the state. And then lower test weight with that. So all that to say, let's get started and see who won this year. So starting from bottom, fourth place this year in the 2025 Fantasy Corn League was... Bill.
Hey.
I did it.
The streak lives.
Continuing his reign. Yeah.
Five in a row.
Towards the bottom, unfortunately. So Bill's top variety was a Partners brand.
Those are really good yields.
Yeah, Partners is top two on his team.
Yeah, Bill's average yield was 240 bushels. That means ranging from 246 down to 234.
Wow. I may be wrong, but this might be the first year we've had everything really above. Like, we might have had like some 201s, 209s, but usually the bottom is like right at 200
right.
or a little, yeah. maybe yep. even lower. So this seems pretty high. Like, it's cool.
In third place, Doug.
Oh,
you're my partner, Doug.
With an average yield of 247, 0.98. Sure. Ranging from 265 down to 230.
Okay, sure.
It's still respectable.
Yeah.
A little more top end. In second place.
Oh, here we go.
Was Todd.
Matt,
what?
Matt back to back.
What?
Woo!
Close to Doug with an average yield of 248, ranging from 260. To 235.
Back to back.
And, of course, your 2025 Fantasy Corn League champion, Matt Brueger.
Let's go. Two in a row.
Yield of 251.35, ranging from 270
wow.
down to 237.
70. Nice work.
And with this year, we did have two undrafted varieties in the Seymour trial. The average undrafted yield was 264. Of course, this is between two varieties.
The
top yielding variety in there was 274 that we left on the table this year.
Oof. Oh, wow. Wow.
Highest yielding variety in the plot.
I believe it was undrafted because of the day length.
And it happened to be undrafted
we,
on purpose.
Kind of said that we wanted it in the plot, but it wasn't within the realm of being okay to be fair.
Sure.
Correct. The two that were undrafted were, I think they're 103, 105 day or something like that. So we decided to keep them out just to kind of keep things fair between the teams, but did end up being the highest yielding variety and another contender as well.
That might be the biggest spread we've had.
I was going to say, Matt smoked us.
Yeah, usually we have, between a couple bushels between teams, and this year we did have a pretty great spread there.
Doug, you and I basically that was equal.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I mean, you're
but between
not even a full bushel
right,
between the two.
Right, so the second and third were equal, but.
Huh.
I mean, Bill... Your team, despite being in last place, very consistent, 234 to 246. I mean, that's not a
very good, very close spread.
Within your team, your spread was.
But you guys had like all of you had some in the 250s, right? I didn't hit any of mine in the 250s.
The top three. Yeah.
I had the second highest yield in the plot because we have the undrafted that was the highest yielding, but yeah, 269. And yeah, Doug, you were right there with 264 on your top end. Just your lower end was a little bit lower. That's something we've talked about before we were recording, even that it all comes down to your bottom end, really. Like your top end, I know there was a year, I think it was the last time you won, Todd, I had the top two varieties,
right.
But my bottom end was
that much
was the bottom of the entire plot. So it didn't average out well.
They're all good yields. That's what's cool. You know, two.
Well, yeah, like I said, nothing below really two. Is it 229 is the lowest at this point?
Yep.
Yeah, and trial average of 248. So that's.
I feel like we always had something that's like a 201, 207, you know,
right.
Lower. Like,
right.
Still 200 bushel, but on the
actually,
lower
if anything,
end.
Anything, our top end maybe is a little lower than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I think every variety did really well this year. Because, yeah, to see that, I mean, for a farm average, I'd be happy with a 229 as my lowest. But.
All right, should we review the overall results?
Yes.
I think we're going to start with the Seymour trial here.
Okay.
The top yielding variety, we kind of mentioned it was the Partners Brand X, which would be an experimental, I believe, 57308 Tricepta. And that is going to come in at 274.8. Second highest yielding was Dairyland 3881 PCE. And that happened to be Matt's variety. Helped boost him up to that top position.
I got to find.
That one looked good. I
want to find the draft board because I feel like that
trial
was
I looked at.
My top. I think that was my first pick, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think that was because I think
it was
we were
the
all,
second pick overall.
Right.
Doug, did you? Yeah, you've seen that on the countryside this year. That did really well.
It's just a short, chunky ear, but it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, that one's got both Power Core Enlist and Vorseed, so this was the Power Core version, but can be ugly, like short.
Yeah,
but it's racehorse and then the big chunky ear to it.
Yeah,
yeah, 98 day, which I think this year probably helped it as well.
And I don't. What was the moisture on that? Was it pretty high compared to everything else?
It was.
Yeah, because that's the only other thing I've seen is it doesn't dry down great.
Third place was another Dairyland 3900 AM.
Yeah, it's good second round value.
Yeah, that was just seventh pick overall. So good placement on that one.
Fourth place, another Dairyland 3548 PCE.
That one's new this year,
yeah.
But yeah, high yield, late season plant health maybe not as good, so can fall apart a little bit. But
that's
still
some,
obviously if
some third round value for you, Todd. Then.
Yeah,
you picked the third round.
I was kind of excited that
11th overall.
New
fifth place, we had a rank 5518 Tricepta. That one came in at 257.7.
Great fourth round value.
Yep.
Sixth place
15th overall.
Was a Channel 198 25 smart stack.
Second round on that one for you, Todd.
Seventh place was Bex 4555 PCE with a yield of 255. Eighth place was another Partners Brand X47543 PCE. Another experimental, I believe. Ninth place was an LG48C87. It's a VT2P.
That was the third pick overall.
And 10th place was rank 4502 VT2P. So in the top 10, the range of yields were 274 bushels down to 252 bushels. In Seymour.
Moistures were high for that. I mean, not crazy, but for how long you waited to harvest that as well.
And it, not too surprising, the top, you know, three varieties did have the highest moisture.
Yeah, we're a little wetter. But, and then the bushel weight is, that's pretty sad.
The test weights were pretty bad.
Yeah. They didn't look like light corn, but that is... Yeah, it's unfortunate this year that some of that might hurt people at the elevator.
Moving on to the Omeraplot. Top yielding variety was the same variety, actually, as Seymour. It was put in both locations. This one did dry down to 20% moisture. Came in at 291 bushels. That was the Partners X57308 Tricepta. Second place was Dairyland 3900. So another really good performance with that same variety that was in Seymour. Third place was Channel 19825. That was a Smart Stacks. Came in at 280 bushels about. Fourth place was Bex 5212. That came in at 278 bushels. Fifth place was Rank 630 Tricepta. Came in at 277. Sixth place, we get Wyckoff 2336. And you'll remember this variety did really well last year in the Omeraplot. Came in at 275 bushels this year. Seventh place was Partners Brand 7184 Conventional. So we got a conventional in the top 10.
That's impressive for that variety. That's cool. Because that one is getting up there in age, but still just holding in and performing. Another one, kind of a duel for silage potential as well.
Eighth place was Rank 5522 Smart Stacks with 263. Ninth place was a Dairyland 3548 PCE with 260 bushel. And 10th place was Channel 19540 VT4P, average yield of 257 bushel. Range in yield in the top 10 varieties was 291 bushels down to 257 bushels.
Is that the highest yield we've reached in the trials? In this
last
trial?
Last year, actually, that Wyckoff variety 2336 did hit in the 290s. I think it was 292 last year. Yep.
Okay.
We need a 300.
got to hit 300 somewhere.
We do need a 300 club. That'd be cool.
It's like the Silver Slugger. Be the 300 club.
What is unique? You would have harvested this Omeraplot 10 days before Seymour?
Yep.
About weekish for sure.
Right.
And
over 10 days, yep.
The moistures are significantly drier at Omro, and it's that much later, too.
I did all the Omro plots and took a week off, basically, to wait for Seymour to dry down.
Yeah.
You didn't take a week off.
Yeah. I know you were fixing stuff.
To get ready. You don't take time off. Yeah.
If you're out there looking for data, I was working on your data. computer, so.
But that is unique to this is that similar varieties, but you can see one area, and would you agree Omro got hit by southern rust worse than Seymour?
It did.
And still yielded 10 bushel better and dried down. So I'm not saying the panic of southern rust we don't need to learn from, but.
Is there a test weight difference?
Like Omro was even better in test weight.
Slightly better, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So that surprised me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think if the Southern got it.
Right, it would have dropped some of that. I should be clear. They're not the exact same varieties in each location.
No, they're not.
So it's not necessarily apples to apples, but it's a fair comparison to see. It just takes time to. We talked earlier on the podcast about looking at plots, and one of the downsides with the way we reveal is we don't have time to look at this data to kind of.
Right. This is all the first time seeing it.
So you're getting our live look of what it looks like to look at the data and what we're looking for. And obviously, with grain data, it's quite simple: yield, test weight, moisture, and you kind of go from there. Any specific plot notes that you saw on certain varieties that maybe lodged more, maybe ones that had certain other problems?
No, well, combining, I did notice, the top yielding variety, that Partners 57308, It was pretty green, actually, yet in the field. Really green in Seymour, but in Amaro, where everything else was pretty dry, yeah, that one was actually still green on the top of the plant. But the cobs did dry down, and they're at 20% moisture, so it was just a little harder to combine, I would say.
Right. That is a unique, like, anybody shooting for those high-yield corn grower plots, you do want a tinge of green there, yet that means that your corn was kind of still trying to mature at the end. That sort of, you don't want it green, and yes, Derek's right, it's going to be a little tough to combine, but that is where we see that better yield. But yeah, if the cob can be dried down, that is good.
In the Amaro plot, I'm the second place one, walking it early, that Dairyland variety 3900 did look really good.
That's always a showy corn.
Yeah, you know, when I was out, we walked it around chest to head height, and I really like that time because you can see which ones really stick out, and that one, it just really looked nice. Really good stature. It just was a showy corn at that stage.
Yeah, that one did a lot better, like, year from last year to this year. So last year that was a 251 overall total bushel on Bill's team last year.
Should have picked it again.
But yeah, this year I think it was, what, 269? No.
265.
So did a good 10-plus bushels better this year from last year.
That is one good thing to note. So, like, university trials will do that. They'll have varieties that are in there year after year and can start.
We discussed that last week.
Yeah,
2 weeks
so to look at those that sort of have that consistency is.
Yeah, I look back because Derek mentioned, yeah, we did hit 292 with that Wyckoff 2336.
So that still holds the record.
Last year we had a bigger disparity between the top two. Like, we went 292 was the top, and that was the Wyckoff brand, and then the second highest was a 275. So there was less consistency within teams as far as, like, yield. Like, the one to two was a pretty significant difference, almost 20 bushel.
Sure.
And, yeah, our lower end, lowest yield last year was a 209, it looks like. So we did better on the bottom. Like, we brought the bottom end up this season from last year by 20 bushel and about the same top end. So
Amaro at a 258 plot average has got to be the highest it's ever.
Yeah. What it was last year?
Last year, just by teams, it was 259.
Average. So it was right there.
Yeah.
And Seymour last year?
That was what was recorded on the team ranking, yeah. So by team last year, our four teams averaged 259. I'm looking to see the Seymour one now. Seymour's was 232 plot average.
Yeah.
So did,
and 262 for Amaro. So
it was actually higher last year.
Yeah, last year we had. In Seymour, last year we had a little bit of nitrogen stress, I would say, just from all the leaching.
Yep.
I think this year we're in a little better spot in the field, and also just, you know, pretty good season.
Yeah,
pretty good
it was.
Season in general.
Yeah, the Amaro spread for yield last year was 292 at the top, 240 at the bottom. And Seymour was 251 top, 209 bottom.
Okay. Yeah, I've been saying the farm, like, this year you could roll out of bed and grow 180 bushel corn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this does show that of that bottom end
is a lot
being
higher.
That high. Yeah. You could, you know, obviously this is a plot and you try, but I'm just saying it's crazy what a good growing season will do to grow corn. One interesting note would be the population. So some of the two top yielders were kind of higher end population, especially at the Amaro site. The Partners brand experimental was a 34,000 plant pop. I mean, so that obviously good emergence all there. And then if you have better emergence, you have more plants there, you don't need as big of a cob to crank it out. And that one I still seem put on a very good size cob.
That's a good point, Todd. The first two varieties in Amaro were actually two of the highest populations in the plot. And then same with Seymour. We're seeing the same thing. We're kind of those top three or four. We're up there towards the top end of the populations. These were planted right around 34,000. And, you know, we're coming in pretty close to 33,000 for all of the top four or five varieties.
Yeah, that is
in Seymour.
As I'm seeing guys that maybe have a field that was a little poorer yielding this year, there's a slight trend toward that. Maybe the population wasn't quite, you know, it still was a 30,000, which is fine, but it wasn't the 33 that we're hoping for. Yeah. So
it's interesting test weight wise last year. So Amro averaged 18% moisture across the plot, 57 for test weight.
Ooh, yeah. So it was big.
And
a big test weight.
Seymour, actually pretty close, 22% moisture average, but the test weight was 54.8. So I mean, sure, we're almost 55.
Yeah.
So test weight was a lot better last year, but moisture, 1 point different, really, from last year to this year. And Amro, I think, was about the same, too. It was 18 last year and 19 this year.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's really, yeah. It seems like it's wetter, but it was pretty much in line with last year's moistures. I don't know what the harvest dates were. I think you harvested a little earlier last year because we did the results show 2 weeks earlier last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was November 1st. But it was really dry last fall, too. So
right.
Yep.
I mean, this fall it hasn't been super wet necessarily either, but we've had more, I think, cold weather and other factors in play. We appreciate Derek.
Yeah,
all the work you put into
this. All the work you do. We appreciate what you do, Derek, because you got to do the work. We just get to do the fun part and see the results. So that's a shout out to anybody doing, you know, rolling around with weigh wagons, rolling around with plot combines and getting the data, because as we get more into AI and big data, we still need the data to do that.
Something
to put in there and good quality data. So. More data is always better. And Matt, can you do another shout out to the companies? Because I really appreciate them for being a part of this. That without them and without them putting their stuff out there, we don't get that either. So
yeah, absolutely. Again, we thank Dairyland Seed, Partners Brand, LG, Wyckoff, Bex, Rank Seed, and Channel Seed for participating in the trial this year, providing us with seed. Like we said at the top, everyone's got good varieties. You look at the averages and everything on this plot. Like nobody should go home unhappy with, other than Bill. He's been at the bottom forever.
Bill's the real loser here.
Yeah,
thanks, Tom.
That's quite. The trophy sits right next to Bill. So.
Yeah, it's so close, I can touch it, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna touch it till I win.
Bill, I feel like you're going to get in the realm of Matt LaFleur, where you're just going to start reaching now.
Yeah.
I know one year your strategy was like, I'm going to do opposite of what I normally want to do.
Drought tolerant one year,
I think. And that was the right year to do that, and it just didn't work out.
No. Now I'm just going to tell Jordan Love to just chuck it.
Yeah. You're just going to
chuck it. That's what he does now. Just chuck it. Just going to send it, Matt.
Okay, Larry. So, yeah, overall, like we said at the top, Derek, can you go back to the team? Like, team-wise, no matter how much hard time we give Bill, his team average is still 240, which is nothing to sneeze at.
And so, what is, maybe to go back on that, what's a different trend from this year is he didn't have any of the low ones.
Right.
Oh, the three of us had lower yielding than him on the low end. So what was odd for him this year is his were almost like
too consistent. Yeah,
right.
So you didn't get you were like the Brewers that
I'll bites at the apple here. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that
just fail in the
just, you did LCS you had the great regular season and just yep, when it just, comes to the harvest it just. They're all good. It was all that great. It just you didn't have that home run hitter to put you over.
Just couldn't hit the playoffs, Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Doug, you and I, that's a tie.
Yeah.
That is a tie.
That's a tie.
Yeah, no, that's That's no, very close.
Just, yeah.
That's not significantly different.
No.
No.
That's 3/4 of 1 bushel.
That's harvest loss right there. That's Derek turned too sharp in one of your plants.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
No, but we do appreciate all the seed companies, Derek, all the work you put into this. I mean, obviously, you know, it's fun for us to sit here and pick varieties, but Derek's got to plant them, watch them grow through the season, harvest them, crunch all this data for us. So,
yeah, and as we're talking harvest, this is a fun time for farmers, hopefully, out there that the season can be tough on us, that there's the ups and downs, and some harvests are really tough where yields come in lower than expected. I would say this year's been great that way, where they've been at expected or higher. So please just, I know prices aren't good. They hopefully that, but know the things you can control, which are not prices. You can control how well your crop did. Hopefully that was good and you can take some happiness home with that. And we'll be there with you. 'Cause as you're out there finishing up your last harvest, and that's always a fun time of year, and it's looking like most harvest guys are going to be able to wrap up before Thanksgiving, which is always exciting too. So just, yeah, take that as a win, because we don't always get real wins and get real excitement. But
nope,
the
last 2 years we've had really good harvest seasons.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No shortage of days with sunlight to get the beans off, the corn standing pretty decent so far, and you know, anytime you can get it off early is good.
It was in mid-October, I had a non-farmer say, like, oh, this has got to be great for you, the best harvest ever. I'm like, eh. I just, because, like, eh, it's fine. And then he's like, no, like.
He's probably watching No Mud on the Road.
Right, and, yeah, like, right. They got to be, like, just be happy that right. It has, we're this yeah. lucky. Like,
take the win.
Yes, yeah, for you, Harvest Derek, I know you had enough breakdowns
yeah.
that those get tough, but I, as far as weather goes and conditions and how it all went, you just can't.
Yeah.
We couldn't ask for a better one.
It's always a saving grace to be able to get out there the next day and not have to wait for another rain delay or something
right.
like that. So, yeah. Yeah, really happy for all the farmers out there that they're able to get, hopefully, an earlier end of their season. So.
All right. Well, we want to thank Derek, thank Doug for joining us today and for putting forth the team that is just as good as Todd,
yeah.
but not good enough because I won.
No, I still had better test weight than all you guys.
It's true, you did.
I like that.
That's you had the deepest the kernel.
You won the yeah, won the test weight.
I didn't see that part. I like
yeah,
that.
I just had to throw that out there. I just saw that.
Yeah, I actually did. I have the worst. Yeah, I had the worst test weight overall.
Yeah, I won by a mile,
but
you did.
Bill was close, but
yep. Yeah, yeah, Bill was yeah. about half of.
Yeah, you could. That's the real winner right there. You're not getting docked at the
yeah, I mean,
the elevator no, like we are.
Just so, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
And thank you to all our listeners. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to our Fantasy Corn League results show, and we will have those results posted on Facebook and soon on tilthtrials.com. So thanks for listening, and as always, happy farming.